Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on the broadcast. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issues of the day. We'll be talking about today a subject that I believe we need to focus on and not look at the peripheral, but look at the centrality of where we are and where we're going. Divided, we fall. We're talking about a text in the scripture that says very, very clearly, the Lord Jesus speaking, Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 and 26, every city or house divided against itself shall not stand, but in the Youngblood vernacular shall fall. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is a demonic delusion that's permeating society today, and we're focusing on the peripheral and not on the substantial fundamentals that's causing us to be divided as a nation. In that conversation, we'll talk about the Twitter files, the Twitter onion being unpeeled. We'll talk about the monument removal and the demand for that to be done here in our city. We're going to be talking about the Duval County School Board's push to sexualize our students through the LGBTQ sodomite agenda through the leadership of Dr. Diane Green, the superintendent of schools, or any other pertinent conversations you'd like to have. It's not a fully open mic, but it is broad enough that you can jump in the dialogue and discussion today, talk about those issues that are affecting us as a city, a state, and as a nation that's dividing us, that the scripture says, with the Lord Jesus speaking, that will cause us to fall as a family, as a city, as a state, and as a nation. I am prayerful that you will hear well today this broadcast and that you will be motivated as never before to look at things from a central biblicist worldview. For ladies and gentlemen, each and every day I remind you that on this broadcast we face the issues based on the scripture, the word of God, the truth book. Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32 said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And further he points to John 17, 17 and says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that makes the difference. This is the reason I say we need to look at everything through the central biblicist worldview, the prism of the word of God. What does God's word say? Psalms 117, verse 2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That forever is forever is forever. And yet we have things today, people saying, making statements today that claim to be true, and they do not endure. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we can examine most everything that's said and done today through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God and ascertain what is true and what is false. Now, many have a problem with that. They want to bring in a bias, a political bias, a denominational dogma bias, or a bias from what they've been taught in the socialist Marxist schools, rather than looking at it from what does the Word of God say. But I challenge you today, as each and every day, to look at it from the truth book. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be absolutely true, if I might say that today. But we find, according to some of the latest studies, that some 55% of the millennials, 55% of the millennials, think that each person determines his own version of the truth, according to this research article. The title of the article says, most younger Americans today say there's no absolute truth. And the statement in this article says, the loss of truth has grave consequences for any community, for justice, for the sense of purpose, and mental health. I'm not aware, this writer says, I'm not aware of any civilization that has abandoned the reality to the extent that we have and yet survive. The good news is that Americans still hold out hope that each person can make a difference. If there was ever a time to stand for truth, it is now, this writer says, and I'm in full agreement with that, ladies and gentlemen. We need to stand for truth now, or we will lose our constitutional liberties to speak the truth. This is the reason I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day to you, our listener. I pray that you'll be willing to stand for truth even to death. And I believe we're on the very horizon of that potentiality coming about, where if we stand for truth, we will face death for standing for truth. We're on the fast track for that, not just in America, but around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. It's a good identifier. Ladies and gentlemen, on the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Based on that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, just drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone lines are open. That telephone number is 831-0917. Area code is 904. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to remind you once again the word from the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. Jesus says, every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the signs of the end times. And all we need to do is just sit back and look across America today, and we see division, discord in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, in our cities, in our nation. It is divided. In fact, I'm looking at an article that is not necessarily related to that, but it brings about that question. It says, are the biblical end times upon us? This writer says, dated December the 12th, families, earthquake, famines and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars are just some of the signs Jesus attributed to the beginning of the birth pangs, Matthew 24, set to precede the end of days. Scripture makes it very clear that no human being knows the eschatological timetable, though many have pondered and discussed this timetable. And considering the dire state of affairs in the U.S. and around the globe, contemporary speculation is commonplace. Nearly 4 in 10, 39%, do believe humanity is living in the end times. The number is surprisingly higher among Christians, with 47% believing that we are living in the end times. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's exactly where we are. I believe we're living in the last of the last days. We see, as I call it, the warp and the woof. That's the fabric of the entire, how would you say, society coming unglued. We see divisions. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see major attempt by the government to suppress free speech and to, if you please, tell the conservative, the Christian, the patriot, sit in the corner, be silent, shut up, and have nothing to do in society. We're watching the ever-increasing encroachment upon our liberties, our freedom of speech, our religious liberties. We're watching the ever-increasing shutting out of any conservative voices in our nation, and the division in our nation, dividing our nation based on ethnicity, dividing our nation based upon whether or not you're saved or lost, dividing our nation based on conservative versus liberals. But ladies and gentlemen, it's a demonic delusion that's taking place. I believe we have Mike on the line. Mike, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I was wanting to talk about the protest that's going on at 4 p.m. today about the Confederate statues downtown.
How we're
supposed to accept and embrace the woke world of their world. I don't do it. They're going to have supposedly the Sons of Confederate veterans also will be down there to protest against what they think is hate, but is not its history. And I'm tired of the pasty whiteys, what Mark Stein called them, the pasty whiteys coming in and saying, oh, they've had such a rough life. Well, their father was not a slave. Their grandfather was not a slave. Possibly their great-grandfather was a slave. They can't stand back and say, oh, I've been oppressed and I've been put down because they're looking at a statue. It's wrong. It's history, and it should be left alone.
Mike, you're exactly right. Let's talk about that for just a moment. Many of those monuments have been up 100, 122, 120 years. And I find it inauthentic, if I can use that term. I find it a delusional discussion to say that now after 100, 120, 122 years with some of these monuments, that all of a sudden it's a racist thing. It's a thing that is against a particular ethnic group, and that's what it stands for. That is not true. That is not true at all. Speak to that. What are these monuments for? They're legacy monuments. They're history monuments. Does it espouse racism and division, or is it just simply our historical legacy that we see that's monumentalized in those statues? What are your thoughts on that?
Pretty much just what you just said. I do believe it's history. It's a statue of a woman holding her two daughters because of the degradation and the trauma of the Civil War and how it was. However, they said it's going back to Jim Crow laws. The man who was on the news, I don't know what his name was, said, no, it's promoting the Jim Crow laws. It's promoting, you know, this one man of color came out with the woke and the pasty whiteys. I keep saying that. That's what Mark Stein called them. And that's what they are, the ones from sitting there, mom. My mom pays my bills while I sit in the bedroom and play with my phone for 8 hours a day. But, you know, well, we should support them. We should do as what makes us look good in their eyes. You know, I work for what I work for. They work for what they work for. Let it be at that.
Mike, you're right on that. And my position is that we face this division in our city. It's not just with the statues. There are multiple divisions. And I think right now we're watching the socialist Marxist media, which is what the Times Union is. It's a Marxist media, socialist media, and we're watching them pile on with their articles that's trying to destroy by dividing. One of the things that is so egregious is that I believe it's our politicians that's willing to bow to a few voices and not stand for truth. Now, as I've used the illustration before on a similar subject, I've traveled quite extensively in our nation. I've seen monuments and I've seen signs that I disagree with. I've never felt it my privilege, my responsibility, or my freedom to tell them you've got to take that sign down or you've got to take that monument down. There are monuments in our nation today that's egregious, that I believe are wrongly promoting things that we ought not to promote. But I don't see these monuments, the Sons of the Confederacy and the Daughters of the Confederacy, and our monuments going back, simply memorializing those events in history, but not saying anything. It has nothing to do with, in my most humble opinion, and if somebody's listening, they can prove to me otherwise, love to hear from you. It has nothing to do with racism. You remember, Mike, that when they passed the new laws in the state of Georgia for election, they said it was Jim Crow 2.0. That was Joe Biden's words. That's what they were doing. But yet there was more freedom and more election, more people participating in the election than in the history of Georgia. Same is true here. They're saying this are Jim Crow laws. This is detrimental to our society. But all it's being used as a demonic tool to divide us ethnically in city of Jacksonville. It's three of the major things in the 10 major points of Marxism. The three major things that I pull out of the 10 points of Marxism is to destroy the nuclear family, to divide the nation ethnically, and to dethrone God. And we see all three of those elements coming into play with this monument issue of wanting them taken down and destroyed. And so,
well, they want to show you the power that they have. Look what we did. Look, we got it broke. We got it taken down. That's our power. Well, you know, as you were saying to Times Union, Channel 4 is CNN in training. They bring on so much racial diversion, and I'm sure their producers must be of racial background because they are constantly bringing back whatever racial diversion we've had in the city. They're constantly bringing it back up, constantly bringing it back up. We want to see it because we want the people to be reminded. We don't need to be reminded of the bad, awful, whatever division. We don't need to be reminded of it. But Channel 4 insists, we insist on bringing it up. We insist on racial division. And so it goes. And it's just wrong. And it's time for the religious entities of this town to stand up and say, no, we're not going to take your woke. We're not going to take your, you know, your ideology. And we're not going to take your world. You have your world. If that's the way you want it, we'll have ours. That's, you know, if you want division, there's division. Have a nice day.
Mike, you're exactly right. I think it's time, and you touched on it, I think it's time Christians, conservatives, and patriots take a stand for truth. It is truth that prevails. It is truth that we find in the Word of God. And when God's Word, the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking, says that every city and every house divided against itself shall not stand, that should be a warning to us as a city and as a nation and as a state that we need not be divided. Mike, thank you so much for your call. You're spot on with your insights and your observations. By the way, if you don't mind, I think it would be a benefit to our listening public. Tell us where that group is supposed to meet today and the two sides of the groups. And would you recommend people join in that discussion by meeting?
I don't know where exactly. It's in Riverside. It's at the monument of the Daughters of the Confederacy. They say it's in Riverside. I don't know exactly what street it's on or what neighborhood it's in, but that's where it's supposed to be today at 4:00.
And I believe that it would be wise for conservative patriots to take a stand. Thank you so much for your call and your dialogue and discussion on the issue.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you have a desire to join in, jump in the dialogue and discussion. We're talking about divided we fall. Divided we fall. We're finding the truth coming out with the Twitter onion being unpeeled, with the fact that the FBI, the DOJ, and the CIA and others were involved in as arms of the federal government, squelching free speech, monitoring our speech through Twitter. But ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be a surprise to us. We've known that. It was President Donald Trump that said that in 2015, 2016, when he announced his running for President of the United States of America. He said that he was being eavesdropped on. They laughed at him, made fun of him. He said the federal government, the FBI, tapping his telephones. They laughed at him, mocked at him. And all of this now is being proven through Elon Musk and the new ownership of the Twitter organization social media platform. So we need to recognize what we're faced with in our nation and not let that divide us. But ladies and gentlemen, we see our homes being divided, our schools divided, our churches divided, our nations divided, our churches divided over moral ethnic issues that should never have been a division in our churches based on the Word of God. We find churches being divided today by multitudes of the denominations embracing the sodomite lifestyle known as the LGBTQ agenda. We see our churches being divided denominationally based upon what is happening in Washington. Multitudes today say that churches and Christians and pastors ought not to talk about political issues. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, and you'll find that both the societal, military, political, economic, social, and spiritual, religious elements were all blended into one. It's called a biblical worldview. That's the reason I remind you that we need to stand based on a biblical worldview. But I'm looking at an article touching on what our caller just spoke of. This article says, "We hear your voices." This is a previous article coming from Mayor Lenny Curry, which I believe has been about as worthless as you can find for standing for truth and morals and ethics and values in our city. You might disagree, but that's all right. It says, "We hear your voices. Jacksonville takes down a 122-year-old Confederate monument on historic day in Florida's largest city." Dateline Jacksonville, Florida. The pre-dawn darkness Tuesday, Mayor Lenny Curry ordered city workers to remove the bronze statue of the Confederate soldier in winter uniform that had hovered over Heming Park in downtown Jacksonville for more than a century. Then, just hours later, Curry pledged to a crowd of protesters that he would order the removal of all remaining public monuments in our city, Confederate monuments, specifically, this article says. The unannounced move was remarkable, a pivot for the city's Republican mayor, who had previously avoided taking a position on the controversy. Just as remarkable is what seems to have played a role in the changing of Curry's mind. The voices of the NFL players from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have joined protesters in recent days to demand police reform and renewed efforts to tackle inequality in Florida's most populous city. The bottom line of this article, ladies and gentlemen, the mayor has allowed the Jaguar team and the team owners to simply have the keys to the city and have the voice on the megaphone for the city. And whatever the Jaguar owners say, that's what the mayor has historically jumped to and done. But it was a lack of political spine for him to do that. In fact, my question is, this is as a result of the, is the moving of, removing of the monuments, will our politicians bow to the demand of a few and remove our monuments? Or will our politicians, our civic leaders, our leaders in our city grow a spine and say no to the destruction of our heritage in Jacksonville? Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of people in traveling will come through Jacksonville and go to visit some of these monuments in relationship to something that tourism is wrapped around. And yet at the same time, we have those that are saying, take them down. I'm looking at a list of 11 Jacksonville Civil War monuments. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's for the Civil War monuments called the Confederate monuments. You don't see anything taking place in the Northeast or other parts of America where you have other military recognition and statues in relationship to their side of the battle. You find in Virginia and down through this area and part of the country where there's a move to take them down. In fact, in Virginia, they continue to destroy anything that's called a heritage monument in Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, their monuments up today recognizing George Floyd. You go back and look at George Floyd's reputation, his background, and his record. and yet you want to put a monument up and monumentalizing George Floyd, and yet there are Floyd monuments up across America today. Where are the voices that say, take that down, that's divisive, take that monument down, it is against anything that we stand for morals and ethics and values and justice. It is the most unjust thing that's ever taken place. Now, I don't say that what took place in force against him. I don't know all of the inside and out. I cannot say one way or the other, but I can say that he had a reputation, and his reputation brought him into confrontation and conflict with law and the law officers several times in history past, and yet we have monuments today recognizing him. If we're going to take these historic monuments down that recognize and represent that which is honorable in our history past, it is simply recognizing history, then I say let's go ahead and take the Floyd monuments down, and I could name dozens of other monuments that need to come down. There are monuments in America today that glorify people like Hitler and Stalin, et cetera, et cetera. And yet there's no move to say, let's take those down. And yet there's a move to say that we need to take all of the ones down dealing with the Confederate monuments. I've got an article that says, groups in favor of removing Confederate statues holding a rally Tuesday. That's what our caller was talking about a moment ago. Multiple groups in Jacksonville are gearing up to hold a rally Tuesday to protest Confederate monuments that are still standing in Jacksonville. The Northside Coalition and other groups are joining together to announce a major initiative to remove the removal of the Confederate monuments in the on public properties. One that's a member of the Take 'em Down Jacks said their group has been fighting over 5 years to rid the city of Confederate monuments. Ladies and gentlemen, may I contend that if we had had a city council that had members with a spine, a backbone, and not just filled with socialists, Marxists, Democrats, and rhinos, if we'd had a city council with a spine that would have taken a stand on this, they would have said no, and it would have been it'd been the end of it. But because we have a spineless city council in general, we have a spineless rhino mayor, as a result of that, it has caused those that are against the monuments to think that somehow, some way, they've gained sway and power in our city to simply speak, and we must jump and remove them. This article says, these statues are only relics of the Jim Crow era. They're raised to send a message to the African-American community that you are no longer going to be part of the political machinery of the South. Ladies and gentlemen, that's absolutely ignorance on the part of any publisher that would publish such an article that I'm holding in my hand. It's ignorance on the part of any ethnic group in our city to think that somehow, some way, that's what that stands for and what it's saying. You can just look at across America. And in our state, in our city, right here, you can look at the, how would you say, the success we've had in blending and removing racial division, and with the major increase in opportunity for everyone that's willing to work and take a stand and honor God. But we're watching the truth of the Word of God from the Lord Jesus coming about, that the city, any city or station, nation is going to be, that's divided, cannot stand. And quoting that exactly, every city or house divided against itself shall not stand, according to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God spoken by the Lord Jesus himself. I'm looking at an article that says, here are the 11 Jacksonville City War Monument markers that are coming down. And the mayor has already stated that all of these will come down. There's 11 of them that's left, and they're targeted. It won't end with just the one that they're talking about now. It will not end with the next one. Will not end with the next one. It will not end until we bow and say yes in the removal of every one of our Confederate monuments, the war monuments of yesteryear. They're historic monuments. They're legacy monuments. They are there to tell us what the past was like. May I simply just do a little parenthetical footnote? If we know what the past was like, we know what we need to do as a change and a different direction for the future. But if we destroy our past, if we destroy our history, we're bound to repeat our history, according to one statement of yesteryear. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that divided we shall fall. And the broadcast today is focused on, we need not be divided. We need to take a stand as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, and stand together based on the authority of the Scripture so that we can go forward, move forward without failing, faltering, or falling. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.